Good morning.
Morning.
You've probably had enough castles, haven't you? But, you know, get me for one more time. Let me just start off. Here is a picture of my boys, or I guess men. When my husband and I started financial teaching, our boys were this age. I would use this picture to show, you know, my family, and then that turned into that, which is wonderful. I love it. But let's go back, and I want to just, we're going to talk about a few things today. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Do you know the subject matter? Okay. I want to talk a few things about finances, and we'll get to the kids. But I first want to point out that here are three of our boys raised in the same family, raised with the same parents, and what a difference their personalities are, and the way that they perceive money. So Shane on the left is save, 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 save. Christy, where are you? Am I lying?
Nope.
he was like that from, if he got a dollar, he saved it. The one on the right is Spencer, and many of you know him, but he was the one who had no desire for anything. It wasn't that he needed to save, but he was a minimalist. What do I mean this? You know, it wasn't that he was saving, where Shane was saving. He was like, I don't need anything. His room, you know, when you have kids have all these rooms, he had three pictures of marching band pictures on his wall. That was it. Like, well, do you want it? Nope, I'm good. So he's a minimalist. The one in the middle, if you know him, Christy's smiling. If he has a dime in his pocket, it's got to be spent. I mean, he would not save. He would not. He just, and he loves treasures. You know, everything was really important. And he'd pick up a rusty bolt, and oh, look at this. And I could have sold it to him for a quarter, and he would have paid for it. Right? So three different personalities. That's what we had. We teach children to read. We teach them to write. We teach them to spell. We need to teach them about money. If I hadn't, the one in the middle would be in big trouble. So we're having a little bit of, I'm going to have to go back and forth a little bit, but because I want to show something, but just bear with me. Let me start the segment off by giving you some financial stats. Cash flow. Nearly 8 of 10 Americans live paycheck to paycheck, meaning they run out of money at the end of the month. 8 out of 10. Credit card debt, the average adult is carrying $3,752 in credit card debt. And the American household is $7,394. Good news is that it's decreased by approximately $400 in the past year. But think about that. This is where the awkward, I have a great, I'm going to need to, oh, I didn't end it, Drea, but we'll see what I can do here. I'm just going to have to come out again. There, I got out. Stick around,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but you didn't.
So,
it's still up there.
Oh, okay, go ahead. I tried to embed these in, but these are so old that it was impossible to do. But they're good. No, the eyeballs. It's just work with me.
I'm Sandra Johnson. I've got a great family. I've got a four-bedroom house and a great community. Like my car, it's new. I even belong to the local golf club.
Absolutely adore that. for obvious reasons. Because when people see, you can't see that yet, when people, don't look, when people see that other people have these things, you get, I'm going to get into here, hang on, slideshow, we're going to do this, and, okay, there we go, thank you, no, thank you, no. Thank you. No, it didn't go to the beginning. Okay, just bear with me. I had a late night last night. I know none of you with little ones understand that at all. So the average person would need to use a credit card to pay a $1,500 unexpected expense. Home, car repair, right? And everybody has probably had that in the past 2 years. You know, some affect others more than others, but that happens. We don't think that we will have an emergency, but you will. In retirement, you can hear those little ones. In retirement, nearly half of all Americans, 46,000, have less than 10,000 saved for retirement. And think about that. So when we were in Tucson, we lived in Tucson for when our kids were your kids' age. They were little ones. And I had a mom's group, and it was great. And it was really interesting because they were all talking about all their money problems. It was not a Christian group. And they were talking about all their money problems and everything, and I'm listening, and I'm going, yeah, that's really, I'm sorry, and blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, really? And then I realized we lived in the smallest house in that subdivision. And I'm thinking, we don't have money problems. But we lived in the smallest house. We didn't have the pool. We didn't have, you know, the two-story huge mansion. So there's a direct correlation to this. When we looked at houses, and we've done this several times, and I'm sure many of you will relate to this, the realtor always told us what we could afford, right? Yeah, so they'd go, but you can afford this. No, nope, I can't, but you can. Look right here, you can afford this. And we always went way low. They will do this. And how many people have had a realtor do that, say that? Yeah, exactly. So don't listen to them. You know, they have a vested interest in this, in buying a more expensive house, right? It's called commission. So a few years ago, when in MOPS, or it was MOPS at the time, moments, somebody asked me, does our generation expect more than, you know, yours? And I said, do you want the truth? Absolutely, 100% yes. It's absolutely. It's a need versus, so people, younger people will look at what their parents have and say, that's the house I want coming out of college, right? So I'm 22 and I want a house that my parents needed 30 years to get to. You want the brand new car. And this, the problem with this is, what is our needs? While there are many references to God's blessing as we give, understand that when the Bible was written, many people considered themselves wealthy and highly blessed if just their needs were met. In biblical times, wealthy people got their needs met. Poor people often didn't. Children often say, you know, I need this. And we smile and think, oh my, they don't need that. And are we dissimilar to that? I really need that new couch. I need this. Think about it. So we're going to have one more interruption here. Bear with me, but this is worth it. This is my favorite commercial on how to save money. Oh, shoot. Okay, just stop. Because it's really worth it. Why do that? still there. There we go. Thank you. Yeah, hang on. Comedic way to say, you know, the debt thing and what we need and what we want and everything is really interesting. You guys can't see over there, can you? Okay. Just another cute little cartoon. Too many times in the Western world, we don't consider ourselves blessed until we have an overabundance of money or material gain. But most people in the third world countries view our poor people as wealthy. It's simply because, and I had shared this with a few people, when I taught, I came into the room and my students were all talking about how they were really poor and they didn't have any money, et cetera. And I was just listening to them and they were all complaining. And I said, I don't want to brag. And they go, what? And I said, wealthy, really wealthy. They're like, must be nice. I said, no, I mean, I'm really rich. And they go, well, must be nice. I said, no, do you understand? You can come into my house and you can turn a faucet and we have hot and cold water. They're like, yeah. I'm like, no. We have heat and air conditioning. I said, wait, there's more. Both my husband and I each have a car. And they're going, okay. And I let them process it. I said, how many people are wealthy here? You know, they also wanted a good grade, so they had to do that. We had a friend who was a missionary in India, and we knew her after she had done this, and she said, you really feel close to God when you are praying for your next meal. Not thanking God for our little buffet out there, but really, she prayed, and they always got the meal. You know, whether somebody put a basket of fruit or on her step, but it always, God always provided. Often Abraham is used as an example of what God plans for us all. While Abraham was a wealthy man, God made him wealthy for a purpose. And just because God made him wealthy, that doesn't mean material wealth in the Lord's plan for every Christian. Here are a few verses to meditate on. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave of the lender. Luke 14:28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? You know, then you have to say, does Jesus really want me to save up and pay for things? You know, I mean, it's scriptural. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. God doesn't want us to divide our love between him and money. This leads to the best and absolute easiest way to save money, and that's called contentment. Bob and I have been studying and taking classes on how to help others financially responsible, to be financially responsible. I think that although they all touch on contentment, they don't put a lot of emphasis on contentment. And I think that's the bottom line. So to say you don't, that couch, I shouldn't buy it, I shouldn't buy it. How about I don't need it? And that contentment part. The best way to save money is to change your thinking. For some people, they need to think, how can I save instead of spend? You know, I love this. I shop, therefore I am. I had a non-believing friend who, she had to go to the store every day. It was like a drug fix for her. Whether it was even going into CVS, she shared with me, she has to go every day. This is an issue. She focused on spending rather than the important things, God, her family, or others. Questions to ask. Instead of asking, can I afford that? Ask, do I need that? What can I do with the money I save by not purchasing it? When we were looking for a new car a few years ago, we were looking at, and we had a person helping us who was a believer, and we were looking at two different cars, and one was the better version of the other one, $5,000 more. But with that $5,000 more, I got a lumbar thing, and I got a sunroof, which I don't know if you guys are, how many people really use it? You know, we don't. $5,000. And I thought, what could we do with that $5,000? He stopped trying to sell that one to us. Saving money here and there is very important. You can decide not to get a soda at the restaurant. So you can get a soda on the beach or on vacation. You know, does it really matter? If you become a saver, you think it's going to become natural. For most, contentment isn't something that comes naturally. Our worldly world makes it hard. You know, so you want one. Of course you do. Or do you want to find your glow? Right? And I need my glow every day. It's estimated that we see 150 to 1,000 advertisements in one day. Not only is it intrusive, but they leave us less contented because they are often selling beyond this product. It's a trap, and we all fall into it. Then they do things like this. Does anybody realize that her head is bigger than her waist? You think a little photoshopping, right? But you will look like this if you buy that outfit. Don't fall for the trap. I mean, this is so bad. And then we can get into body image and everything, right, with this. Just horrible. Tempting deals, can't pass them up. but I saved. So, some practical ways to strive for contentment. Make a list of what you have. Not just material things, but also non-material things, such as family, friendships. A couple of years ago, one of my classes was complaining, and I told you about that, and it kind of reminds me of this. My goal was to become a millionaire. Then I became a billionaire. Now I realize that till I achieve the status of a trillionaire, I won't be content. We were just telling, with Valentine's Day, we told our small, well, Bob told this, the small group guys, that when we first got married, we were really poor. We would go, and someone said, oh, well, they would do cards. I said, well, we would go to the Hallmark store. We would find a card for each other, give it to them there, and then, oh, that's so sweet. We'd put them back and walk out. That's poor. That's poor.
That's so funny.
What?
That's so funny.
It was true. We used to double date with a couple, and we used to go to what is now Costco for the four of us on Saturdays for lunch because they had so many, you know, this is when he was in college, I was on a teacher's salary. We didn't have a lot of money. So talk about date nights. We had somebody who said, well, we can't afford a date night. You know, think about this. We've brainstormed, you know, a cheap romantic night. You can have it. Stay home. Put the kids to bed. Make a dinner together. Put the candles on. You know, voila. You know, you've got a date night. You didn't have to pay for a babysitter. You know, you can cook your own food. It's what you make it. Again, ask yourself, do I need that? What can I do with money that I save by not purchasing it? And I would, and ask Lee, Christy, where are you? Pluvia. I believe, oh no, that this Christy, no, another, there's way
there's
too many Christies. I'm just going to say, this person, I called her Heather at the beginning because there were so many Christies. I said Christy because we had a Kristen, and I said, can we just call you Heather? Sure. I call her Christy. I don't know if you remember, but I remember this. When we were talking to a Sunday school group about contentment, and I believe you had, no, not Plumier, where is she?
Yeah.
I think she's counting votes.
Man, I was going to call her out. Christy Plumier said in the Sunday school, if you really want contentment, get off the HGTV. And I'm like, yep. So I'm looking there, you know, Property Brothers. Love these guys, love them. But still, their houses look amazing afterwards. And I shut off the TV and my house looks the same. Don't get me going on this, you know, we're like, oh, you've got, you know, you make $60,000, let's buy, you know, a $500,000 home. Doesn't work. Doesn't everybody's home look like that? So I shut off the TV. That's what I was looking at. My house doesn't look like that. So be careful. Love this. If you could wish for anything, what would it be? A big sunny field to be in. A stupid field? You've got that now. Think big riches, power. Pretend you could have anything. Actually, it's hard to argue with someone who looks so happy. Okay, we're going to talk about allowance for the kids. We're going to, but I do want to, so Christy DeBacker and I talked a little bit this morning, and she was, because I was saying, well, I could talk from now until midnight, seriously, I could, on what you can do with money and the difference and everything. And Christy, you want to share with them what you shared with me. Do
what
you remember?
What my in-laws did when we got married? Is that what you're talking
yes.
about? So when we got married, my in-laws gave us $1,000 in a mutual fund. Well, we'll be married 32 years in August, and it's $25,000 a month.
You didn't touch it?
Didn't touch it, no. Just let us sit there and do
so 1,000. I had said Max Lalliker, who is person who goes to Bethany. He was a financial advisor. He said people come into his office and say, you know, they're 55. And they go, okay, so when should I start saving? And he's like, too late. You know, what you are putting away now will grow on its own. Money makes money. It works for the billionaires. It can even work for us thousandaires, right? put it away. $1,000 grows.
And my daughter then, my mother also did 529 plans for each of her grandchildren. So instead of giving them a birthday present, she put $50 in the 529. And then she found out she had ovarian cancer, was going to probably not make it for the younger ones. So she capped everybody up to $25,000 and other things. So my youngest daughter has $47,000 in her 529 plan. And she's actually at the point now where even what she takes out to pay for her tuition, she makes back before the year's out. So she's not even decreasing it.
It's amazing. Give to your little ones now. Put it away. You know, they need that $50 more than they need the latest toy. Really trust me on that. And if you don't think so, let me know, because there's a lot of toys around. I'll give them to you. Okay, so here's our allowance guidance. And if you guys have questions, let me know. I don't want this just to be a wah, wah, wah for me. If you have questions, let me know. We started our boys with allowance very early. They were around 4. We gave them $1 per year. Per week. So if they were 4, they got $4 a week. Sounds like a lot of money for a 4-year-old, right? But we loved them and we wanted to spoil them. What we did, so let's say a 5-year-old, $5 a week. Now wait for it. We need to split that money. 10% charity, that goes first. Because you need to teach them to give. 10% for taxes. Now, I know you guys are saying it's a lot more than 10%. I know, but it's easier on the math, and it's just teaching them. And we use that for family fun nights. So what we did, I had Tupperware containers that were marked charity, taxes, retirement, which is good habit forming. Then we also had college, and that's for the mind setting. You know, we assume you're going to go to college. And I'm not saying college is for everyone, but in today's day and age, whatever you want to be, it takes some kind of college. It really does. 25% savings, and they needed $25 or more to purchase a larger item. And then 25% yours to spend. So a 5-year-old would only have $1.25 a week to spend. Do you get that? So they're really not giving them a lot of money. Now, with inflation, this is what we did with our kids. You could give them a little bit more. You need to figure out what is best for your family. But the charity teaches them to give. Taxes, we use that for family fun nights. So they would collect it, and when we would find that we had enough for pizza and a movie or something, then we would do it, but it was community money, right? It teaches them taxes. I think our kids were the only kids at 16 when they got their job and they got their paycheck and they see income tax. All the other kids are going, wait a minute, that's what my kids are going. Yep, that's normal. college, and I shared this with Christy. I remember Shane was like, I don't know, 7, and he had $125 in college. He goes, I've got $125. I said, yep, that might buy a book. I mean, you know, but it gets them thinking that they need to save for that. With savings, they needed to have $25 or more to purchase a larger item. We didn't do anything. And the years to spend, I would never tell them no to something, unless, you know, if they wanted to buy drugs or something. But, you know, we didn't want them doing that. But if things that I don't, they love, you know, now it's Pokemon cards. You know, they had cards back then. I think it's a waste of money. Not to them. It's really important. So we would let them buy that. We would even go into McDonald's. And I'm going to pick on poor Christy, but that's what you get. welcome to the family. We would go into McDonald's, and Shane really liked milkshakes. And we would say, well, we're not going to make the kids buy their own meal, you know. But he wanted the milkshake, so he would want to up his meal for a dollar for the milkshake. Okay, if you want to do that, give us a dollar, because that's not the... And you know what? He happily paid us for it. He appreciated that milkshake a whole lot more than if it's, okay, what do you want? You know, you can have anything. We made the kids pay for those things. A, they would appreciate it, and they would appreciate the value of the money. Now, it can backfire. Brent, or I shouldn't have said that, another son was on a date in high school, and they walked in and to the movie, and he goes, so do you want some popcorn? I guess he had only been dating her a little bit. Do you want some popcorn? She goes, oh, that'd be nice. He goes, okay, well, he paid for the movie. He goes, well, you're going to pay for the popcorn. I'm not going to pay that for the popcorn. I'm like, honey. she stayed with them for a while, though, so it's all good. They use it for their own treat. We would go into the grocery store, and you know how you go, oh, I can't go through the checkout line because the kids want this and this. I always said, yes. Can I get this? Yes. Do you have your money? Suddenly, that candy bar is not worth the $1.50, right? And they learn to appreciate that candy bar, learn to appreciate the value of the money. I very rarely said no. So, do you guys have any questions about that? Yes?
What'd you do when Grandma gave you $50 for the birthday?
Ah, good. Oh, that's a really good one. No, because...
I was asking for a friend.
I know. To me, that's a birthday gift for them. She would have bought them the $50 fire truck, right? So to me, they can do whatever. Shane would have put it in savings. Brent would have spent it. But it is their birthday gift. And I would take them with that $50, go into Target or whatever. I'd be careful about online for obvious reasons. But if you do that, you know, okay, I would take that $5 and say, this, or $50, this is for Grandma. You might want to say, or you, if you want to, you could split it up, put some in savings, you know, put some. But to me, that's a birthday gift. That makes sense? Do you guys agree with that or not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's... Yes?
I have a question. Maybe it's a silly question, I don't know. But since my oldest, he's 3 years old, he's for his age, he's very smart, so it's very easy for him to convince me to buy toys. But now, because before he met his cousins, so he was on vacation with family, and he was playing with his cousins and my brother and his wife. They are considered wealthy people. So my nephew and my niece, they have way more toys than my son. You know, not only because we can buy him more, but I never want it. You know, we always control this. But when he met his cousins and saw that they have way more toys, and he started asking, and some cartoon that he likes, like Paw Patrol. Yeah, they have all these toys. And I don't have no single toys from Paw Patrol. And I felt sorry for him, and I started buying more because I don't know how to.
Personally, I think you need to change your attitude and not feel sorry for him. Right? because look at all these things we do have. Look at what God has provided. And I don't want to start saying, think about all those people who have nothing. But that's true. You know, we have, look at all of what we have. Mm-hmm. And how fortunate and how blessed we are. And God has given us this. Yeah. Instead of focusing on that, I truly, no offense to people now, but those kids who get everything they want, it's not good. They are going to be told no sooner or later, and it's going to be devastating for them. Yeah. So you need to start teaching them the word no, and we don't need this. Now, he's three, you said?
Yes.
I'd start him on allowance. You know, if he's that aware of things, or at least start when's his birthday?
October.
Okay, you can start him at four. We started our kids at four. And so, okay, you want that Paw Patrol toy? That is so cool. This is how you save up for it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, I'm telling him all the time, I will buy it on your birthday. I will buy it on your birthday.
No, and that is, put it on your wish list.
Yes.
Because then you put it down.
Yeah.
You know, put it on the wish list. This is great. And then a lot of times, come October, they're not going to want it.
Sometimes I go to the store with my kids, I do allowance, and I'll have them pick a toy, and I'll say, well, let's take your picture with the toy, and then you'll remember
it, and
then come back later, and they'll smile and hold it, and then half the time they forget about it.
I know, that's exactly it.
But, yeah.
That's exactly it. Anybody else have anything to say?
I have a question.
Yes.
For the allowance, do you make them earn it, or do you just give it to them?
Okay. You're opening up that can of worms.
I'm serious. Because, you know, we have to earn our money.
I believe that you should, what our boys were, they're, you need to be a part of the family.
Right.
So, in a job, you need to work to get that money. But your boss is not going to say, well, you are 10 minutes late, I'm docking you that. So I try to make it like the real world. You need to be a part. We expected them to make their beds. We expected them to clear off the table. We expected certain things. If they didn't do those, if it was a problem, then we would say, well, you can't, you've got to be a part of this, and we might take it away. Now, my husband, and this is, I need to let you go. My husband was a little stricter than I was, okay? Because, you know, it's the mama's heart, right? That's why you have to learn to say no.
Yes.
You know, my husband knew how to say no from the very beginning. But the mama's heart. So he would take money away, like, if they did leave things out. They told him to pick it up. He goes, well, I just picked it up. I just charged you $1, you know, for doing that, which is controversial. And our one son said, at one point, he goes, you did this, I'm taking $1. And he goes, the only reason you had kids was to make money. Anyway, we looked at each other. We looked at him, and he goes, that was the stupidest thing I've ever said. Bingo. He was a little older then. So there are a lot of ways, you know, that's very, some people say you shouldn't have to work. Some people say you should get paid for everything. I think you should be a part of the family. And, you know, everybody chips in and we get paid for that. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I just want to add it to that. Like we had to really encourage them that we were part of the family and contributing, and we're kind of a small community together. Because when we tried to do the like specific chores, I have one son who was like, oh, that's not worth it to me. I'll just take no allowance this week. And that was a problem.
Thank you for pointing that out. Are your children different in personality? Night and day. Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Somebody else. Did somebody else have their hand?
Yeah, well, something similar. I mean, I don't do allowances with my kiddos, but we do treats, which is, I ask them, okay, now it's time to clean up, and if you are good listeners today, you might get a nice dessert or a nice treat. which I want to change for probably allowance. But then they said something very similar. I'm not going to get it. It's not worth it, the piece of gum. Like something like that. How can I change that?
Well, and you have to find the thing that they care about, right? So I actually was subbing the other day, and it was preschool, and one of the boys didn't want to clean up. And so I said, okay. You know, he was playing with everything. I said, okay, you need to sit here while we clean up. Am I in timeout? No. But you're distracting here. So, and that really, he sat there, but it kind of taught him he's not part of that community right now. So there's other ways of doing it. Does anybody else have any suggestions? I do have a hard time saying, if you do this, you can have candy. Or, although as a grandmother, you know, I they get it just for pulling up in my driveway. But I'm not there to teach them. No. So does anybody else have any other ideas?
For us, I mean, my oldest is 8. He is also incredibly stubborn and very much the kid who's like, well, it's not worth it. I don't need the money this week. So for us, this whole process, the hardest thing has been our follow through. Even when he doesn't care about it, that he still has to get it done. And that includes things like when his laundry takes him 8 hours from start to finish because he just dilly-dallies the whole time. Versus, I know I can finish it in an hour and a half if I just took over, and then we could be done, and I don't have to fight this anymore, and our family can move past this moment. So we have spent like full Saturdays before where we just don't, you know, the other kids get to go do something fun with Dad in the basement, but our family can't go move past this until my oldest is ready to get it together and do what needs to get done.
But that's to clean up the room?
To do the laundry.
Well, no, I'm saying to clean up your room.
Right.
They need to see the kids cleaned up. Obviously, depending, a 3-year-old can't do as well as an 8-year-old, right? But, and every child has a different ability. But you need to do this before you can do this. And don't worry about how long it takes. And I think, you know, 8 hours for that, it would take 8 hours to clean up a room that I could clean up in a half hour.
You can set a timer. I do that for my daughter who... Oh,
we'll
just dilly-dally. It'll be done in 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Well, but I think her point is, so what if they go, it's not done? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? You need to have a consequence, but it depends on what you're trying to... I never made a big deal out of it because we were having a lot of fun doing it, and I made sure we were having fun in the other room. I was cruel. Does that answer your question? A timer might work. Everything will be different for every child. And I'm way over time, aren't I? Yep, she says yes. Amanda, who's not here, said, don't worry about it. So, finishing up. But those are good conversations. First Timothy 6:10, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. This is in the Bible. This is so relevant. Now, a happy heart has a continual feast. And that's it. So if you guys have any questions, let me know. There's also, I had a little longer, does anybody know Saucy Mom podcast? Does anybody follow that? Somebody, the person who owns the Chick-fil-A over at East Peoria, I was on that, and there's a little more in depth for there if you think about that. But if you have any questions, you can email me, text me. A lot of you have my phone number. Let me know, you know, if you have questions. You're in a hard spot here, people. And it's just getting worse because everything is in their face. You get on the tablet, commercials, you do anything, commercials. So I feel for you. But you'll get through it. Okay, thank you.